Is take out this if you have it. This is a little handheld computer called a cell phone. Press it like that and then press it until you see where it says power off and hit it once, twice. Oh, it's dying. Amen. Kill it. Kill it right now. And let's turn on to what God's power is today, which is right here in this thing. This is a handheld device.
It's good.
And it's alive, amen? And you should bring this with you. It's called the King James Bible. Bring it with you, and you'll be blessed for doing that and having it in your heart. I promise you, you'll be blessed, and that's what we're doing around here. So revival is re-Bible. We need to get back to the Bible, amen? That's what this is all about. And the big part of our service is the Bible, the preaching of the Word of God. It's the climax of our service. Please turn to Psalm chapter 60, Psalm chapter 60, where we just read. And I want to say something this morning that the wise man in the book of Proverbs said this phrase, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And what that means is where there is no man of God that has the vision of God, the vision of Jesus Christ, where there is no church or man of God that has God-given spiritual goals and desires, so the people around the church don't just live and die and go on to hell, and then people blame the sovereignty of God and say, well, it must have been God's plan. No, we could blame the church for not having a vision. We could blame God's man for not having God's purpose for why we are here, why you are here, why I am here. We had three men to our house for dinner the other night, and one of the men said, why else are we here? Why are we here? And he was right. And this man is a soul winner. Paul said that he was a watchman, and he said if he didn't warn the people that they were sinners, that they were going to die for their sin and then go to hell, he said that the blood of the people around him would be on his hands. And we need to realize that today. Don't let it be said of you. Don't let it be said of this church. Let it be said of this pastor that there is no vision here in Scranton Revival Baptist Church. Don't let it be said, therefore, that we don't have a master passion, that we don't have a spiritual purpose that causes you and me to keep people from dying and going to hell all around this church. You know, the other day I always talk about our Jerusalem is from Moscow to Tunkhannock and from Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre. And I go up to Tunkhannock and I put candy in businesses to raise money for the school, our Christian school. But I got to thinking, you know what, I need to make my main mission in Tunkhannock telling people about Jesus Christ and how to be saved. Amen. And I went up there Saturday, not so much to put candy in businesses, that wasn't the main thing. It was to hand out tracts. It was to talk to people about Jesus Christ. And I went up there and I got to downtown Tunkhannock and I actually talked to people right there in downtown Tunkhannock. And then I gave the gospel to an owner of a restaurant there in downtown Tunkhannock. And I heard him talking on the phone, and he has something that's life-threatening, and he has to have these tests, and he was talking to the insurance company, and we talked for quite a while. I got to give him the gospel. I gave him our track. You pray for that guy. He's the owner of Twig's Restaurant there in downtown Tunkhannock. I went on from there, and there's a curry donut there, and I went into curry donut, and I saw one guy that was there as a customer, you know, only one guy. There were two lady workers there at the time. One guy was a customer. His name was Keith, and he was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, a New York Yankee fan. And I said, well, we got something in common. And we started talking, you know, and I asked him the two spiritual questions, and then I gave him the whole gospel. And while I was doing it, the ladies were listening to me. And they opened up to me and they started talking. One of the ladies said, you know, she said, there are no churches doing what you're doing. She was a member of a Bible church. I knew of that church. Pastor Victor Decker, he's now in heaven. Pastor Rodney Decker, he went to school with me, but he's passed away. Rodney, my buddy, younger than I am. And he's gone. But she said, there's not churches doing what you're doing. And what are you doing up here in Tunkhannock? I said, we're reaching out to tell people how to go to heaven and keep them out of hell. And I said, we go all the way to Tunkhannock. We go to Moscow. We go to Wilkes-Barre. I said, we go all the way up to Carbondale, our church. And she was like, wow, there are not churches doing what you're doing, you know. And so I went there. I went from there to Walmart and was talking to people, giving them the gospel, handing out tracts, showing them the QR code. And it's not just the pastor that's doing it. Brother Eddie Brent just gave me a stack of convert slips this morning. People that he witnessed to that pray to receive Christ. I'm just saying this morning, where you see a pastor and a church that has no vision of heaven, has no spiritual vision of hell, people are dying and going to hell. And nobody is helping them. No man cared for my soul, the Bible says. And so I'm saying this morning, hell is real, beloved. Heaven is real. You are here for a reason. You are not going to be here forever. Your main reason is you're not here to eat mashed potatoes and gravy and big hunks of salmon. And although I like that stuff. I had it on Saturday. My wife made me that. That's why I'm staying. But listen, that's not the main reason we're here. And my message this morning is, where there is no vision, the people perish. That is, they die and go to hell. And do you have that vision? Now, I want to say three things about that from Psalm chapter 60. Psalm 60, there are three things. Number one, where there is no vision, the people perish. They die and go to hell. Therefore, you should follow that vision despite your past failures. You should follow that vision despite past failures. Look at Psalm 60 with me, and I hope you have your Bible, but look at Psalm 60, verses 1 through 3. It says this, O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. I can't help but think this is also prophetic. David is looking forward to God's people, the nation of Israel, going through what's called the day of the Lord, when the world will shake and quake and God will bake it, and it will be a time of judgment. And God's going to bring his people through that time. Why? Because they've rejected the Lord. And he's going to seek to bring them to the Lord. Listen, God knows how to shake us and let us go through hard times. I also think it points to prophecy of the Israelites and how they're going to be treated since they rejected Christ, their Messiah, at AD 28. AD 70, they were judged by the Romans. And all the way up to AD 1948, they went through all kinds of things, and the Bible talks about those things. But I think also David was looking at his own experience, and he was saying, in my own experience, I've gone through this. Or his predecessor and the nation of Israel went through, listen to me, being defeated in battle, going through times of defeat. And even in Joshua's day, remember, Joshua led the army, but they were defeated for a time, even during that time. And so I'm just saying to you that there will be times in your life when you will fail God. There will be times in your life, and I'm talking to you who are born again believers, when you will sin. And there will be times in your life where you will suffer consequences for your sin. You know, David sinned, he confessed that he got right, but did that mean he didn't have any consequences? No, he had consequences. He had four of his sons die. He was taken out of Israel for a time, and he was in exile. He went through some hard times. Why? because he failed God through sin. And God had to chasten him to teach him his holiness. And I've had that in my life, and you've had that in your life, and David had that in his life. And that's what this is talking about. But listen, that shouldn't stop you from seeking to have a vision to save the lost. That shouldn't stop you from having a vision, not only to go to heaven, but to take everybody you can with you. Not stopping you from having a vision to be in a church that is all about that and is involved in that. You know, this church is not a religious lectureship. You say, Pastor, I like the preaching. Pastor, I like the teaching. Well, I hope you get something out of it, but it's not just a lecture that you're getting here. It is what we call a soul-winning generalship. We're helping you to have a vision to warn people about hell, to win them to Christ so they can go to heaven. And that's what we're doing. And every Sunday is like the Super Bowl. That is the main thing. Easter Sunday especially is like the Super Bowl. And so I'm just saying that if your church fails in that vision, then God will let you experience failure. Let me say that again. If your church, or you as an individual, or as a family, you fail to realize God's purpose, God will let failure come into your life. God will let loss come into your life, financial, physical, and other things. And I'm just saying, that's what God says. Notice what it says, verses 1 through 3. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. Oh, turn thyself to us again. You know how you can have God turn to you? You turn back to God. You turn back to his word. You turn back to his purpose for your life. And guess what? You'll find out God hasn't moved. He's still here. So I'm just saying, where there is no vision, the people perish, they die and go to hell. Don't let your past failures keep you from following that vision. You know, I think of our church. We left the King James Bible back in the late 1970s, early 1980s, and we went to the modern translation. I saw in our church deacons getting drunk. I saw in our church men that had wives that were godly women whose fathers were alcoholics, and they married a Christian man, and then seeing that man turn to alcohol. By the way, I hate alcohol. Amen. Kick it out of your refrigerator. Kick it out of your house. Get rid of that garbage. And have no alcoholic beverages, the Bible says. And anyway, that was going on in our church, and it was carnal, and people wanted carnality. I was preaching against it, and people didn't like my preaching. They threatened me, and finally it was me or them, and they wound up leaving. Thank God I stayed. And in 1985, we got back to the right Bible. Amen. And we've never left it since then. And then I went to pastor school in 1986. I was filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God to be a soul winner and to reach people at a pastor school headed up by Dr. Jack Hiles in Hammond, Indiana. I went forward that week, and we started really going out and having a vision to reach out. And we did that from 86 to 96. Saw a lot of people saved and baptized. Actually started bus routes. And we went up to, we had three bus routes and three buses going out in 1996. You know how many baptisms we had that year? 276 baptisms that year in 1996. Were you born yet?
Yeah,
you were born. How old were you?
Six.
Oh, okay. And amen. And so anyway, that was going on then. And thank God for that. And then we saw after all of that went on, there were some what I call petty parties started up in the early 1990s. And they began to build up. And the devil got in. And we had a Christian school back then. And we had a woman trying to lead and pastor the church through the school, and that wasn't good, and that happened. And then in 1996, the devil got in and divided us to conquer us. And guess what? We went from three buses and three bus routes in 1996 to just one bus and then no buses. And then for a few years, we didn't have a bus. Amen? And so we went through failure because of that. And then I just want to say to you, Satan, when he sees you succeed, he's looking to bring you down. He's looking to divide you. Listen, a house divided against itself cannot what? Stand. That's why I say the best thing you can do is click around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. If you care for your kids, if you care for your community, if you care, you need to realize that Satan wants you to fail. But we can learn from our past failures and not let them keep us down. And that's what David was saying here. I've got a vision, he said in Psalm 60. We've had hard things. We've had tough things. But I'm not going to let that stop me. I remember a guy said one time, he talked to me. He was a preacher. He was a pastor. He said, I paid my dues. I thought to myself, what are you talking about? You paid your dues. Yeah, I pastored for 4 years. Boy, that was tough, he said. I pastored for 4 years. And what are you doing now? Well, I speak in different places. I go from church to church. He goes, he's a good speaker, but he said, I paid my dues. Well, I've been 46 years this October paying my dues. Amen? And I don't intend to stop. I'm just saying, don't let failures, don't let difficulties stop you from the vision that God has for your life, that God has for your church. Some people, you've been in a bus ministry, God wants you to get back in the bus ministry. Amen. You've been in soul winning training, God wants you to get back into soul winning training. And don't let past failures keep you from your purpose, and you'll extend your life because God sees you're giving, God sees you're going and blowing and giving, and he says, I'm going to give that person some more time, amen. But if you're just biding your time, you might as well go on up there, amen. Might as well just go back to heaven and or go there for the first time. I don't think anybody was there first except Jesus, amen. But anyway, then we didn't let the past failure stop us there. When we got hit by the devil, and in 2000, we were back at it again. And guess what? We got one bus going. We got two buses going. We got three buses going. And that's when you guys came in, the 2000 time, and others of you came in. And if you were saved or joined this church between 2000 and 2012, that was another time of great outreach and vision, and we got going. But once again, you know what? The devil gets in, the flesh gets in, and we began to lose altitude. After 2012, we got down to two buses and one bus. And at least we didn't go down to zero, but we just were maintaining and all the way up into the 2020s and went through the corona and all of that, you know. We went through the past failures, but guess what? We didn't let those failures stop us from having vision. And now here we are in 2024, and we're back to three buses. Oh, guess what? We're back to four bus routes. And we are we had about 30 people minus one Thursday night out for all church soul winning and soul winning training on a Thursday night. You say, what is that all about? You need a man of God with vision. You need leaders clicking around the man of God that have that same vision. And you need the people to get around that vision and do that thing. And don't let past failures discourage you, to stop you from following that vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish, they die and go to hell. You should follow that vision in spite of past failures. And number two, you should follow that vision because of positive promises. I want you to see, first of all, two verses in Psalm 60, 4 and 5. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. Psalm 60 says, David writes, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah, that means think about that. And then verse 5, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand and hear me. Now he's going to start to talk about some positive promises. And he's saying, when I consider these positive promises, I believe that I can carry out the vision that God has for me. Now, what do these two verses speak about? He says in verse 5, that thy beloved may be delivered. You've given us this banner of victory that thy beloved may be delivered. Save, he says, with thy right hand. Hear me. In other words, listen, when you fail, when you fall into sin, you get away from God's purpose for your life. You get away from the Bible. You get away from the gospel. You get away from reaching people. And when you do that as an individual, as a family, as a church, you are just careening through life. You're off the tracks. You're not where you should be. And you need to be brought back. And that's what he's saying. God, bring me back. You know, the Bible says this, the righteous man falls what? 7 times and rises up again. You fall and you hurt yourself, but you get back up again. We had a movie night. We had a movie called The Hiding Place. And what Marlene Tolly do? She fell right off her chair. She's off her rocker. She was off her rocking chair. No, she was not a rocking chair. But her chair was rocking. It pitched her off, I guess. I don't know what happened. But anyway, she's back here this morning in Sunday school. She's in church. When you fall, get back up again. You know? And get back in the race. And that's what God wants you to do. And I think about what Jack Hiles said. Jack Hiles said that you may not be a success. You know what a success is? Is a person that just doesn't fall. You know, you're better off not to fall, especially as you get older. Because when you get older and fall, what happens? You get injured. And it takes a while to heal it. And you can have a fall after fall. Like that's what happened to my dad. He started having some fall. And the last one was the worst. And I'm just saying to you, you get injured, you know. And as you get older, that's why hopefully you get older, you get wiser and fall less. Amen. So you're taking a little bit more time to travel out there. He's getting older and wiser. But you fall less and get less problems. But that's the way it should be. But I'm just saying, you're not a failure, Jack Hiles said, if you fall and you get back up again. In fact, he knew me. He got to know me on a personal basis. I could give you stories about that. I won't. But I remember that he knew that we had had our falls. And he always says about that, you're not a failure because you keep getting back up. You keep getting back up. You know, a boxer, he can get knocked down in the 5th round and he gets back up and keeps fighting. He can get knocked down again in the 9th round. He gets back up. He keeps fighting. He can get knocked down in the 11th round. He gets back up and keeps fighting. And this happens, not always, very rare, but it happens. He comes in the 12th round and knocks the guy out. Guess who wins the fight? The guy that was getting beat on the cards every round, but he got back up and he knocked the guy out. And he won the fight. You know what? I don't want to just be a person that is not a failure because I keep getting knocked down and getting back up. Thank God for that. A lot of guys get knocked down, they say it's over, it's done. Brother Heil said he always pulled for the underdog. He said the guy get knocked down, get back up, he's always pulling for him to win. And I know he was pulling for our church. And he wanted us to win. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you, we have an opportunity to lay hold of the vision to reach our Jerusalem. And you see it here in this psalm with David, because see, David had past failures, but now he's laying hold of positive promises. You say, well, where are those promises? Look at verse 6 through 10. I'll read it. You follow. God has spoken in his holiness, David writes. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and met out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab, he said, is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. He says, Philistia, triumph thou because of me. By the way, the Israelites right now are wiping out the Philistines right now in the Gaza Strip. And people are saying, oh, stop, don't do it, don't do it. I say, keep doing it.
Yep.
Keep doing it. And that's what God says. And then he says in verse 10, wilt not thou, O God, which hast cast us off, past failure, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies, past failure. He says, wilt thou not. And he's talking about what God will do. God will bless. Why? Because he's promised to give them Shechem. He's promised to give them Edom. He's promised to give them Philistia. Now, why did he promise that? Because that is what's called the promised land. He promised it to the children of Israel. And he told Moses, I promise it to you. And Moses knew about it. Yeah, but the people didn't get it. They failed to get it under Moses. Then he said to Joshua, he said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. You say, well, why did Joshua bring them into the promised land? And they took the promised land and they conquered it. Why? Because Joshua represents Jesus. And guess what? All the promises of God, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. Moses couldn't bring them into the land. And by the way, if you are trying to get to heaven by the law, you're never going to get there.
Right.
You're not getting there by works of the law. And most people, 95% of the people, and most churches, Protestant, Catholic, Islamic people, Judaism, all these major religions, they're trying to work their way into heaven. The law will never save you. That's why Moses died and he couldn't take them into the promised land. He died before they went in, and Joshua had to take them in. Thank God that our heavenly Joshua, Jesus, kept every commandment in the law for us.
Amen.
Then he died under the curse of the law that you and I deserve.
Amen.
But he didn't stay dead. Up from the grave, he rose.
Yes.
And he's alive to fulfill in and through you the law of God.
Yep.
And you can live for God, not because of keeping the law, but because Jesus kept it for you. And he will do it in you, and he will do it through you. And so he is the one that in him all the promises of God are yes and amen to the glory of God, so that we can be blessed in our sanctification and you can live a holy life, not in your own strength, but he'll give you that strength. You can understand the word of God and claim it. You can have answers to prayer in the name of Jesus. And you can, beloved, you can reach out and fulfill the vision that God has for us. Acts 1:8, he says, Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. I believe he says that to you and to me in Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And so King David, just like Joshua, he's a type of Christ. And really, David conquered the promised land. In fact, David conquered it all the way from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates River. That's the entire promised land promised to Abraham. And then he gave it to his son Joshua. And Joshua didn't even have to go to war. Joshua just enjoyed the keys to the Cadillac and had peace in all of that land. Why? Because David is a type of Jesus, and he gave Solomon that land. And we can get a free gift to be in heaven through Jesus Christ. And the Jews will get a free gift through when they accept Jesus, they'll reign over their promised land someday. And so I'm just saying you should follow the vision that God has for your life because of Jesus Christ and the promises of God that you have through Jesus Christ. And you know what? I believe God wants us to be witnesses in our Jerusalem, which is Moscow to Tunkhannock, and from Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre. And we got a new bus route. Brother Zukowski helped out by Deacon Steve. They are going down into Wilkes-Barre now on Saturday, knocking on doors and building a bus route. And you know what? I always ask God, give me the first fruits. I want the first fruits. And Brother Z called me yesterday. He encouraged me. He was calling me, I believe, from Wilkes-Barre. I was up in Oliphant. He was calling me. He said, you know what, Pastor? I went to a house that you gave me, a lady, and the lady was a lady. Her name is Vanessa. Pray for her. I met her up in Dunmore. She was over a nurse at the nursing home where Kim Lake is. And I went there to visit Kim. I saw her on a Tuesday night. This was a couple months ago. And I led her to faith in Christ right there at the nursing home. I said, where do you live? She said, Wilkes-Barre. I took her address and her phone number. And I haven't been able to follow her up. But when they went down there, Brother Z said, well, give me the address, the phone number, and so forth. I'll call on her. He went down there, and a former regular attender at our church answered the door and said, I was just waiting for you guys to come. I was just waiting for you. He said, when my girl here, Vanessa, said some pastor led her to Christ, he said, I told her, that's Pastor Bloom. And he said, I was waiting for a visit, and here you guys are. And I thought, wow, we are believing God, and he is fulfilling his promises. He's opening doors. Go through God's open door. You know what? I thank God for people that have faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that, you can know you're going to heaven. Amen. If you have faith in the law, you're not. You can never know whether you're going. And I'm telling you, you're not going because the law won't get you there. But if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can know you're going. These things are written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Hope, think, know that ye have eternal life. I know I'm going to heaven. Oh, because I'm good enough? No, because he's good enough. And so we preach Christ Jesus and not ourselves. And so I thank God for those that have faith and they have stepped out in faith. Because faith not only has a foundation, which is Jesus Christ, but faith has what? Feet. He told Joshua, every place where the sole of your foot tread. That's why I was out there in Tongkang, because faith has feet. That's why he and Brother Steve were down there in Wilkes-Barre, because it has feet. That's why this guy was up in Carbondale bringing, he had 30 people on his bus today. That's why he was doing that with his workers that he had. That's why, because the positive promises of God and stepping out in faith. So faith has a foundation, but faith has feet.
Right.
And one more thing, faith fights the devil.
Hey.
And don't let him push you back from the blessings that God has for you. There's one more thing I see in this psalm. And where there is no vision, the people perish. In spite of past failures, you can have that vision. You should follow that vision because of positive promises. And you should follow that vision because of powerful praying. Look at verses 11 and 12 again. It says there in verse 11, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. You know what? It's not just the word of God, but thank God, the God of the Word is alive. He's a person. He hears your prayers. He answers your prayers. And he loves it when you don't quit. He loves it when you say, Lord, I want to have your vision. I don't want to look at this world with the eyes of lust. I want to look at this world with the eyes of Christ. So many people are lusting after money. They're lusting after immorality. They're lusting after alcohol. They're lusting after drugs. They're lusting after what the... No, you should be looking at this world with the eyes of Jesus Christ. He saw people as sheep not having a shepherd. I remember Ralph Tolley. One day I visited Marlene and Ralph. This was years ago. Ralph was into money. He was into mechanics, fixing cars. Remember that? All weekend, that's all he had time for. Fix cars, get the money, get the money. He was running. And I didn't even look at Ralph because I didn't think he would listen. I looked at Marlene, and I could see Marlene knew her grandchild was going to get blessed and was coming to church, and she was going to come. And Marlene came, but you know what? Ralph came with her. And Ralph said God gave him a new heart when he came to this church, and he had revival. He was reading his Bible. Back in those days, he was on fire. And I remember all that, and I remember preaching about that. And he said to me, he said, Pastor, when you came that day and you talked to Marlene, and I was standing right there, but he said, I looked at your eyes. He said, they weren't your eyes. He said, I saw the eyes of Jesus through your eyes. And that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to look through your eyes. I visited a lady named Leah Fish. She was a Jewish lady. And I was knocking on doors. I had a leather jacket on. I was about 31 years old, downtown Scranton, a pastor at the time. But I kind of had this leather jacket. And I knocked on the door, and Leah came to the door, and her husband owned a grocery store, and she had the marks of Hitler right on her. She was in one of the camps. I don't remember if it was Ravensbrück, Dachau, Auschwitz, Treblinka. I don't remember which one, Bergen-Belsen. I don't know, but she had the writing on her hand. I saw it, and she said, come right in. And I did. I walked in because I was going to talk to her. And when I got inside, after a while, I talked to her. I said, Miss Fish, you're a nice lady. I said, but you shouldn't be inviting people in. You shouldn't invite a guy like me in. You know, I got this leather jacket on. You don't know who I am. I could be a serial killer. She said, oh, no, no. She said, it's in the eyes. She said, the eyes are the window of the soul. And there's a lady that had seen mass murders and looked at them in the eyes. I'm just saying to you that God wants you to have the eyes of Christ.
Amen.
And then he wants you to go to God and beg God for his power. Beg God for the power of Billy Sunday. Beg God for the power of a Jack Hiles. Beg God for the power that they had in the book of Acts. I see in Acts 1, they prayed and the Holy Spirit came for the first time and filled them. And they won Jerusalem, and that church reach their area, which is similar to the area that we're trying to reach. And then they went on to Judea and planted churches, and then into Samaria and did it. And then they went on and they planted a church in Antioch, and Antioch became a great church. And you know what? The church in Antioch in Acts 13 had a big pastoral staff. They had a number of pastors. And I'd like to have a church where we could have a number of pastors and a multi-ministry. I'd like to see a church where this building is filled for one service, and then we have to have a second service on Sunday to hold all the people and every pew be filled. Why? Because there's so many that need it. They're dying and going to hell. And we should pray that what God did then, he would do it again.
Yep.
That what God did in Acts, he'd do it again. I talked to this guy. He said, you know what? We're a pastoral staff. We should pray. And we decided Thursday we're going to pray. We've been praying together every Thursday. I don't know how we're going to do it this Thursday, but we'll every Thursday, we'll figure out a way on the phone. We praying together, and God is working through that. Just like in Antioch, God worked, and then he called Paul and Barnabas and said, okay, now I want you guys to go plant other churches. And they fulfilled their mission. I believe God wants you to not just tread water, but to have that vision of Jesus Christ, so that even though you've had past failures and gotten away from it, you would have that vision in spite of your past failures. That you would follow the vision because you see you're in Jesus and you have positive promises. And you should follow that vision through powerful praying. And by the way, we need to be praying. We're going to have a prayer meeting here on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. I wonder if you're going to be here. I want to challenge you, if you're in this area, would you be here? 7 o'clock Wednesday to help us to pray for our teenagers, to help us to pray for the spring campaign, to help us to pray that we would reach out. Would you be here? Would you be here? We have a men's revival seekers prayer meeting. Tremendous blessing. God is blessing that. And we're going to keep doing that by the grace of God. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Let's have his vision. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. We've been talking about